in laughing as a couple or as a family. And now the phone start to come in. Before only dad and mom will have a phone, but now all the children are having their phone, so they can be sitting in a living room for 2-3 hours, nobody talking, because they are talking to their phone, either their work, their games, or the news. No, even for me, sometimes I'll just be sitting there reading my Bible, my Bible. Before, when the Bible is on the shelf, I have to go and bring the Bible and then read the Bible because it's big. And then after that, you feel out because everybody's talking and you're trying to read the Bible and you put it there. But with the phone, just flick up and down. And most of the time, I heard a conversation, most of the leadership with Chokata Magyo on Monday. Most of them, they asked them this question. Most of them, the leaders that have been interviewed, they try not to bring their work into their home. Most of them that are here, their work remains in their workplace. Because the moment you bring your work, whatever you do, into your home, you are giving also a doorway to the members of a family to also do their own. And the home becomes a house, a place of
A transition place of people coming in. And I used to be a very worse example of that. I used to take files and everything back home. So even when you arrive home, see that everything is done, they have their dinner, and then you sit on the same table and do your work. And I think for a few years now, you bring the file, you bring it back the next morning. I don't really go and work, but the little work that I do is to check anything urgent on the phone. And still now, I try to take files, but I'm still bringing it back, which I felt that I've improved from the person that I was. Like what you said, and that feeling of finishing your work, like you have to control it. That takes another willpower for you to say to yourself, "No, enough."
Because
the work will never end.
The work will never end. We can change the player, but the work will always be there.
Because I used to have, it's a good habit for work, but it's a bad habit for family. I used to have this habit, like I cannot leave my desk cluttered. I cannot leave my desk with the work not finished, not done. That is to be my biggest problem. And I'll always leave the office when I know it's done. And it's been like that for years. And that is why, like when I was working at the Pacific Hangar then, I work until midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. I will not leave until that last letter of complaint is handled, because I was handling the complaints. And all those things, like it's just the way I am, and maybe some people can relate to that. Now I'm training myself. I think I can say that I've achieved something in the sense from my angle. For the last 2 years, that I just leave my office. I can't leave my office with paper, all over my desk. I have to make sure that this paper, okay, that goes into the pending. I have to organize it, and then I will leave. But recently, I just look at the time, because it's a wall clock right opposite me. I just look at the time. That's it. I leave things as it is. I just off my computer, pick up my bag, and go out. And sometimes people in the office, they will call again. Are you still here? You've gone, and said, I'm gone. That's it. Because if I have to go through the process of, clearing your table, saying your goodbye, through the goodbye, I see you tomorrow. It's like, can you do this? Can you sign this? Oh, I'm waiting for this. And that's another half an hour, 1 hour process. So I've learned, like you just have to find what works and what is more practical for you to be able to tell yourself, okay, my work ends here, and this is what I do. And I actually won't ask the director for the company that I work for if I can work from home at least one day.
In a week.
I asked that in the beginning of this year. I think so far, I've never achieved the desire of just working from home one day in a week. And I can do other things, like I can be on the phone, I can be on email, but to work from home. So I requested for that one day to work from home, so I can spend more time with my grandchildren. They do not go to school, have time with him or those, that are around him. So yesterday was one of those days that I asked. I work from home. It was a good day because we started with the family just having breakfast together. And we're actually wearing the... and I know they are tuning in today. Today we are celebrating the brother and sister's birthday. And thank you, Nate, my daughter-in-law, for designing this T-shirt for the family. And thank you for that initiative. And I like the wording at the back. I really like it, the wordings at the back, you know, just thanking the lives of these two children and acknowledging God for the blessings in having these two children. So they are actually brother and sister. And that's Sonny, which we call Elijah, and Lekayla. Lekayla turns four on the 29th of July, while Sonny turned 11 on the 10th of July. So he had actually had his birthday already. We had dinner for the family. But we are just combining them to celebrate it today. And it's going to be from 1 o'clock in the afternoon, just a short one in the afternoon, for their friends just to come together and have their family to come in and join them to celebrate their life. One is 4 and one is 11. And we're actually wearing their T-shirt today, the design today. Beautiful children. And I think Elijah and I, you are blessed with your children. They are beautiful. And this morning, very early in the morning, I could hear her footsteps from their room. And then she entered my room. She said, okay, where's everybody? Everybody's sleeping. I said, it's still very early. And on my way to come to this program, she's already present. She said, Nana, I'm ready. And I said, oh, you're not going with me. You have to go back to your mommy and daddy. We'll meet later. The birthday is at 1 o'clock. She's already up and about. And her excitement, I believe her best birthday she can ever have is to have her brother and also her two cousins, my daughter's two beautiful girls, Adaza and Samsara. Those are like jewels to Lekayla. If you say, you know, Adaza and Samsara is coming, or when she sees them, why, she feels so elated, so happy, jumping up and down, just seeing her cousins. So today will be a celebration for our family that we just come together, sit down, and have hot dogs and burgers, and just watch our children enjoy today in the afternoon. So those kind of gathering, like, it's sort of like you get the, you know, like you give them the attention that they deserve, and like you just stand back. It's not a church meeting. It's not a family get together. It's the children. So you know, like just have them like, enjoy themselves.
Like when we were sharing, in our tradition, in our culture, if somebody celebrates their first birthday right up to sweet 16, the whole clan will come, and the food that is prepared is for the adults. Make one lobu. But for the children, 1, 2, 3, 4 year old, that does not mean anything. But when you have McDonald's or you come together to a park, that means a lot to them. Because the celebration is tailor-made to their age. But for us, you know, this is why parenting is very, very important. When we celebrate 4-year-old and son 11, for them, when all the tutus and the boo-boo sit around and they celebrating gathering, to them, it doesn't make any. And then they go and donai sulu masilemu donangatu, may kata-kata tuyani. It doesn't mean anything to them. But if they have their friends,
And give them a few games here.
They have a quiz. All those small games to them means a lot.
They have fun.
That's why parenting is very important. And we were not taught with parenting. So all these things are some initiative. So we can put together a program relevant for the age of our children. And they will remember, they will love swimming in the pool, going to the beach, or maybe to a park, or maybe to a hall, and all the games and all their children are more important. Within 2 or 3 hours, it's all about them.
You know, maybe parents that are tuning in today, you said, okay, you know, like they talk about those things because they can, you know, do that or they can organize that. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be a little volume of it. Like, what's more practical? Ramadan na koro rani dakadona gito.
Gito.
Rada kama na music chair. Butakosui. Elevo na gito daro ni dakawa. Se vakatao na yamba kinibula, ravoli bol. So na gito daro ni dakawa. Meron nga ni ramarotaka. Na kaya nona cuma na sing isu do pati kena nona
kaya balik 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 kaya na kaya tak tiku ya balik kaya kaso na mana ni ra tak tiku na kaya bukan bibit tengah weekend na kaka na mandang ay bukan bibit tengah weekend yan ni tak kaya hot dogs ya tutok sa tuwera no mandang na munsin musu musu na tutok sa tuwera kaya tak tiku na kaya games lalay I think it changed the meaning of the party. When we say birthday party, it's about them, not about the adults.
Yes. Yeah. Well, happy birthday to Sunny, who we call, and his name is actually Cherenate Elijah Wosayado Vula Ono. He's actually named between the parents and Gaselevu. And we have Lake Taylor Katie Miracle Vula Ono. Miracle is another story on how she miraculously was born without a disease that was detected earlier in her mom's womb. And that's how where the miracle comes in. And the KD is actually the name combined together of her maternal grandparents. Colinio is the grandfather's name, and Auntie Diama is the grandmother's name. So they combine the two to be KD, and that's the name, the middle name that she's got. It's a combination of both maternal grandparents. And Lekela is the Hawaiian name for Rachel. She's actually named after her paternal grandmother, so her nana. So she's my little yada, and in most ways I see she's just, small little yada, my small little yada. Very bossy, very direct, and she doesn't mince her words, and she says it as it is. And sometimes I look at her and I said, okay, you know, I see myself in this little girl running around. And never scared of anything. Like, I've shared stories about this little girl of mine, the very youngest granddaughter of ours. And when we travel, we've traveled to New Zealand quite a few times, to Christchurch and to Auckland. And at the airport, she doesn't refrain herself looking at these adults and European there. And we just have to be careful. As most of the time, we're looking for her. She's either talking to this couple or sitting with this couple, talking away. And I said, you know, somebody will take you away. Keep still here, because she doesn't, she doesn't hold back or fear the fact that she doesn't even know them. She'll go and say, my name is Lekela. Even when we went and we had a little break at the Tabok Club Lounge here at the airport, I think you can remember that morning, we were, you know, seated there, and she was with her parents. And there's a small, thank you, Tabok Fiji Airways. That Tabok Lounge is very beautiful. You even include the children's playroom. Yes. So she was in the playroom. The last I saw her, because when I went to the washroom, I saw her in the playroom. So I came back and I said, okay, she's playing with, you know, some children out there. And we were seated, like anybody who will leave the lounge to go out will go past us, because we were seated there. And after a while, then I told my husband, is that her? I can hear her voice. And there was this elderly European couple that was behind us, seated, just across from us. I can hear her voice. So when I look out, it was actually her. And I was looking at her, and I'm trying to look at these two. I stood up and I said, and I'm very sorry to apologize, the fact that she just came and created this conversation. She came and said, hi, hello, my name is Lekela. I'm going to New Zealand, and I'm going with my nana, my pa, with my mommy and my daddy, so I'm trying to look at them to say I'm very sorry. You know, like, not only she's invading into their privacy, she just come out from nowhere and start talking to this couple. And as I stood here waiting and trying to signal to her to stop, the lady actually looked and said, don't worry, you know, we have our grandchildren. How old is she? And said, she's 3. And she said, I have grandchildren of her age, but she's very talkative. And I said, she is, I can hear her voice from where we're sitting, and I would like to apologize, sorry that she's invading into privacy. She said, no, not at all, we are really interested. So they start talking, and I have to stand there and wait for their conversation to finish. And you're talking about a 3-year-old. So like, Kayla, happy birthday. And I always tell her, with all your confidence and thing that you do. Like last night, we had our devotion, and we were having Bible verses for all of us. So, and to end with her, she was actually seated there, and my eldest grandson, Joshua, was standing and said, Joshua, we'll start with you, with your Bible verse, and we'll end with Lekela. So just by saying that, and just as I finished, she spoke up her Bible verse, James 4:10. You know, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So we all look at each other and said, okay, right. We just mentioned for you to end it, but you want to start it. So we have to change the forum. Yeah, that's her. And I say that I'm really blessed with my grandchildren. I have 7 grandchildren, and I'm really, really blessed with them. I try as much, you know, regardless of how busy I am, to allocate time for them. So yesterday was a good time for Joshua, the eldest one, and for Lekela and Israel, because they have their parents interview yesterday. So I spent some time with them. And the other time, last Saturday, like this, yeah, I had a little tape with my other one, who is in the Northern Division today, playing for his school on the under 18. I try as much to allocate my time amongst my children, and not only then my grandchildren, and to the friends that are actually living with us, Joshua's friends, for Carlos and as well as Junior. So, you know, just those family time for me, it helped me stay grounded, regardless how busy you are or whatever that you're doing. When you have their presence all the time, it reminds you of your responsibility. Yeah. And as much as possible, as you say that you are busy, like going this way, but you're reminded to step back and, you know, look back and allow them to walk with you in every, you know, elements and every aspect.
Yeah, because our children and even our grandchildren, the time is like it's just ticking very fast.
Yeah.
The time with them.
Yes.
Suddenly you notice that they are out of primary school.
Yeah.
And then, like for Joshua, and then last year we realized he's in year 13.
Yeah.
And will be out of secondary school. The time just fly. So when we don't spend the time with our family members, we don't realize how much we missed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because of those absent parents, there are other friends and neighbors, they can become the parents to them.
Yeah.
Introducing things that they're not supposed to have.
Yeah.
Because the parents are not.
So they get their knowledge and everything from the outside other than from the inside of their home. And that is why, like last time as we spoke about it, we actually picked this up. We can have complete family with the parents staying together, but because of their work at the church and involved in the community, it takes them away from this. You know, take away their presence, physical presence, from this forum, from this family. And most times, like, we lack the ability to be the voice, to talk to them so they can hear you. And when they do hear you and what you think and what you are counseling them for, when they hear their friends or they are exposed to any other information, at least they have something that can challenge the things that they're hearing outside the home. But when they don't hear anything from home, they are vulnerable to grab that whatever they hear is the truth. So they just take that, and it can be taking drugs, it can be sex, it can be anything else. And they take that they dislike because they have never heard from home, you're not allowed to do that.
You know, even their day-to-day character.
Yeah.
Because the people they are with also contribute to the character that they will carry.
Yeah.
And if they are exposed to all this bullying, fighting, grouping,
swearing,
gossiping, and all these things become part of their life, even though not taught from home.
Mm.
But because there's no teaching from home, there's no presence of parents from home, so they start to go into this kind of lifestyle that totally different from home.
Upbringing. Yeah.
Even though their parents will say, oh, we provide shelter, we provide house, we provide finance. But the growing up, the nurturing.
Yeah. The molding of their character.
The molding.
Yeah.
All these things is missing out. And while they are growing from level to level, they start to engage and they start to copy from their friends.
Yeah.
And that's why it's very important, the family time together, the devotion.
Yeah.
The devotion together.
And that's one thing that I'm really nailing it to the grandchildren. You know, like we have had our devotion this week, and one thing that I continue to remind them, the fact that you must, and this goes for the children, for the youth, and this is what I tell my grandchildren, it may work for you, it may not, but one thing that I'm really pushing them, the priorities of their life. I'm telling them, other than them making it their own decision and thinking out themselves. And I've left them to do that, you know, for so long. For this time around, when I see things that are happening and I'm reminding them and I hear and I read the stories and you hear the news of things happening to other, you know, children of their same age, I'm beginning to make that decision to tell them to believe it and to work with it. So practically, what I share with them, like, try and have in your mind, in your heart, the priorities. Like,
God.
You believe God. You live in this house, you believe God. We teach you about God. You go to church. You know that there is an existence of a supreme power of God. And you cannot deny that, because if I'm not with you, if I'm not physically there, if you're not physically with the family, there is a God that creates you. It's always with you. So whenever you get into trouble, he will help you. Whenever you are indecisive or you are confused, he will help you. So I teach them with their connection and their values in life to know and trust God. So I remind them the priority in your life must be God. Because your nana, your pa, your... You know, your family cannot be with you all the time. They cannot fix you. They cannot be the helper that you need. But God, he will be with you. And that's one thing that I push them to believe. And have God as a priority. And second, you must have your family. You must have your family in your mind, in your heart. Have your family in your heart. Because when you have your family in your heart, when you're being exposed or being tempted to do other things, the first thing that challenges you, what will my God think? Because you don't see God, you can easily betray him. But when you feel your family, because you'll go back to your family, you'll be challenged to think, if I do this thing, what will happen to my family? Because I love my family. If I do this thing, I love my mom. What, you know, what will happen to my mom? Will she be happy? So those are the questions that you begin to ask yourself, and which I try to remind them. Before you do anything, think of your family. That becomes the second in your life. Third is your friends. Don't get me wrong. I always tell them, don't get me wrong for you to think that I don't like your friends. No, I like your friends. And even for Joshua, I look after his friends. They stay with us for years. And until today, they're still there. I just say, I love your friends. I like your friends. But whatever they bring to the table to your life, whatever they say to your life, you should not take that as a thing to, you know, to follow. Or it's supreme. Over and above the things that you hear from home, from your family, and God. Because when you are able to, you know, have that priorities in your life, it defines what you do. And not only for the children, this goes for couple as well. The person that you love. You know, the person that you love. Kembala iko kila na kaiko na zakava. E na Moses e mamoa. Iko kila satiko ilomamo. Niko ndomona. Seko lomama. And when you bring that to your heart and your life, wherever you go, that trust is always between you two, regardless. You can be staying in two different countries. Furthest. But with that trust, because you love your wife, or you love your husband, or you love your children, and you love your family, they become the defining factor for you. Wherever you go, they are always with you, even though you're physically there on your own. But it's like you're carrying your family with you, because in your heart, you have your them. Family. And it will stop you from when they ranga, whatever that you do, to hurt the very family that you love. But when you don't have your family in your heart, when you don't have their priority in your life, then you do whatever you're doing. You're doing exactly what you're doing, because you're only reminded you have a family when you come back home and say, okay, you know, where's mommy? Where are the children? Oh, where's daddy? Because when you reach home, then you realize, okay, I have a family. But when you're out there, you don't have a family, because it's not in your heart. And that's one thing that I continuously remind my grandchildren, that levels of reminders.
Priorities, yeah.
Because wherever you go, you will be convicted. You will be reminded. Because I had this conversation with one of my grandsons last week. After the games, he just decided to go. Just a phone call to my daughter or to his aunt. And her phone went off. Because my grandchildren, I always give them this directive. Wherever you go, before you do anything, you must get approval from home. You must tell us where you are. And if you have your phone with you, I will need updates all the time to tell me where you are. Because with everything that is happening, you cannot be oblivious to the fact that you are immune and you are an exemption, that nothing will happen to you. Or because you are the son or the grandson of the pastor, nothing will happen to you. No. Children are children and everything. Even us. When we go to church, or when we actually part of this ministry that we are part of, It doesn't exempt us from extramarital affairs happening in our life. There's no guarantee that that cannot happen. We are humans, and it happens. But there are ways and means that you can do to be proactive, to save your family and save your children. And it goes back to what I was trying to share. So I give that directive to my grandchildren for them to know that they cannot just up and go and do whatever they want to do.
Because of their friends.
Yeah, because of their friends. They're living in the house. They are accountable to get that, you know, permission to be able to do that. They are not, even though the world says, you know, when you're 18, you make your own decision, you live your own life. But you are staying in the house. You can't just make your own decision. You haven't had the ability to look after your own self, buy your own food, look after, pay for your own rent. So that independence doesn't come with the age.
The freedom comes with the responsibility.
With the responsibility. Yeah. So we had the conversation with one, like what I said, you know, we go to church. The issues that are affecting our children and affecting the family. Mm. I always remind this in the church that we are part of, coming to church doesn't save your marriage. Coming to church doesn't save your family. You need to be doers. You need to be doing something to save that. The church label automatically does not save you. It's you making the decision, and you living that life, and you making that impact. And that teaching, I carry that with my grandchildren. So we had a very good conversation last Saturday, because he just up and go. And, you know, and I always tell my grandchildren, I'm getting old. I'm not getting any younger to be going around looking for you. I shouldn't be doing that. You should be accountable, responsible enough to tell us where you're going. And I've heard stories about, you know, like from parents who want their children to be prayed over because of are rebellious and disobedient. And I know children, you may get to hear this, you know, this family tabletop replayed maybe at another time, or maybe listening to us today. Sangai kana maramango. Sami takali na taman reto na bulan February. Yoko ay wakati chumani message na via bulan June sa July. Sangai kako ay rendini yoko kere. Kero ang dengan masalah kina non reto bulan na luwengo na non reto do vimala vimba vimado. Ada memenangon ngo sangai wakan do ni ngono wasa ini kina sabu kimin do sabado kiau. Going to na tumutumo marama sa takali na nonreto ta eh. And these are issues that are actually happening out there. Na daba nga iko nakaba ko iko dorbo mo nela o iko barro mo chuka niko e senga ni tukuni ni iko daba na baki nimbula me sulibi iko nondontogu mo nakaba na itoho koukawa bira na nomi tumutumo se bira na nomo tukai se na nomo mbu it doesn't give you that right. Maybe the world tells you that you have the right, but in the Bible, because he's a creator of the family and the creator of your good self, your goodness come by respecting and honoring your parents. Well, back to what I was saying. So I have a very good sit down with this grandson of mine, and I said, you know, you've always had issues, you really need to fix it. First, you need to change your attitude and look at your friends around you. That's your first check. Check your friends around you. If you know that they are bad influence, or they're coming in and telling you things to do that you're not supposed to do, and you hear your parents, your grandparents, and you hear me telling you, then you should be able to make the decision for yourself. You're old enough to make the decision for yourself. And I have one last night who came in, and that's why I'm really, really blessed with this, you know, grandson. Like, not all of them can be obedient. There's always ones, you know, they're not all the same. So you just have to know how to handle each and, you know, and all of them. So I have one last night who came in just before our devotion to say, Nana, I will go after the devotion. I would like to let you know that my friends have invited me. We are going out for movies, and I will go and I will come back. And I said, I trust you that you will go and come back. And please just wait for us to do our devotion. And after our devotion, then we can go. And he said, yeah, it's okay. Because usually when the movie starts, you know, they have this coming attraction and other things that are going. So the real movie, I wouldn't miss it. So even though if I'm going late, it's okay. So we had our devotion last night. And then after the devotion, we were staying around the house. And I still see him, you know, still hanging out, and I said, you're not going. And then he said, no, my friends called, it's moved half an hour, you know, to another time. not the time that I told you earlier. I said, okay, that's okay. So last night, actually, that's one thing with me. When if I have given approval for my grandchildren to leave the house, the older ones, to go and join their friends, I will not be able to sleep. I will stay there. And I know some of you parents can relate to my story. I will not be able to sleep. I will sit there and wait for them to come home. Not until they enter through the door, then it gives me peace to go and sleep. Then I will lock the door and go to sleep. And even if my children, they have their families already.